Today is the 31st of December 2019.
Can you wish people a Happy New Year?
Tuesday. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova. Can you do that? Sure. It's funny that Chabad Rabbi Bogle said he doesn't say anything wrong with it.
Okay. Yeah. Should all have a good secular year, just like you'll have a good Jewish year. All good. All right. So this parak is, I think, might be one of the. Truth is, I got to think about it. Whether it's the most depressing parak in all of in the entire Chumash, not just the punishments, but just the. It's a difficult parak to get. But pretty much, Hashem is saying to the Jewish people that yeah, I'm going to help you guys out, but you don't deserve any of it because you're all really a bunch of sinners. I'm doing it because I have to, because otherwise I made this promise to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov once upon a time. And as Moshe Rabbeinu pointed out, if I don't do it, you guys are gonna, it's gonna make me look bad, right? So therefore I do have to help you out, but, you don't really deserve it because you've really been sinning all along. That's really the main theme of the parak. So if you go to Pasuk Dalet, let's start there. So the Pasuk says, Al Tomar Bilvavcha, Badof Hashem Elokecha Osam Lefanech Leimor. That don't say in your heart that Hashem will thrust out all of the enemies from in front of you, saying, B'tzid Kasi Hevi Ani Hashem, that my righteousness Hashem brought us here, La'reshes Asaretz Azos, in order to conquer this land, Uvrish As Haguim Ha'ela, Hashem Morisham Mipanecha. It was because of their wickedness that Hashem has taken them out from in front of you. I mean, it's not because of your righteousness, but rather their wickedness. And lo b'tzid kascha v'yoshul v'avcha atav al reshes hazartzam. It's not because of your righteousness and the straightness of your heart that Hashem is going to help you conquer the land. Ki b'rishas agim e'il Hashem elokecha m'risham b'panecha. Because of their evilness, if that's a word, that Hashem is sending them out in front of you. Ulman hakimes hadavar asher nishba Hashem la'avosecha v'avraham l'Yitzchak Yaakov. In order to establish the thing which Hashem swore to your forefathers, to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. That's why you're going to be able to go into the land. So the Ramban here says, Achrei Shehizir Shalu, where do I want to pick up from? Yeah, that, let's start from the beginning. Achrei Shehizir Shalu, Takshov Kochi V'otzim Yadi Aseli, that we, after you, you're warned not to think that it's your own strength. Rach Shateda, Ki Hanitzuchim B'mochama, Hashem Natan Lehem HaKoachahu. That the ones who were successful in war, Hashem is the one who gave them that power. The hatakifin shebehem va'arim habitzur asher tilkatu Hashem dichvodo asei lacham kain b'neis meforsam meito chaz v'hiskelo tachshav ki asa Hashem imach ki zebitzid kascha ki lo asa lacham kain rak berishas hagoyim e'elin. Repeats it and says that these things, the fact that you were successful, it's not, don't think it's because Hashem did it because of your righteousness, because Hashem didn't do this except for their evilness. And that's the reason that Hashem is getting rid of the Goyim, and Hashem is not giving you the reason that you're conquering the land. Meaning we're focusing on why they're leaving, not why you're able to come. Al-Kain Chazer, and therefore in the second pasuk, it reminds him and says, and it's not your righteousness that you're doing this. V'lo afilu b'lev, yashashi elocha rak b'resha l'kim, ki ein ha-chet shalach yachul levatel ha-matana, shenasal avosecha, ki b'shvuas nasal lehem. He says, and just because you guys sinned, and your sin is not enough to nullify the gift, which I promised to give to your forefathers, and I promised them, and that's the pshat of Rashi, v'inei nachon. I said, I don't think that that's exactly the right pshat. He doesn't go so far off, though. The Ramban continues on and says, V'yesh al ha-sha'ul, ha-sho'el l'sha'ul, sharei amar, ki me'avas Hashem idchem v'nehem avui l'mala, that we have earlier, that you are beloved. Hashem lo yev rakas ha-tavir, Hashem only loves the good people. So how could we, this parak, be saying that you're all a bunch of no-goodniks, and that's why you're getting you're only getting the land because Hashem made a promise, and because the people there are wicked. Earlier we said that you are beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Bhatshuva says the Ramban, Kisham Yidaber Am Yisrael Bichlalam, V'kan Yuchiyach Adorahu, Shari Mamrim Es Hashem Miyom Yisrael Mimar. That in that paragraph, when he said that you're beloved, that's B'nai Yisrael in general. But you guys have been a bad nation. You guys have done sins.
So what are you referring to? Today or their answer? I don't understand. I thought all the people were killed off from.
But they've had reoccurrences. I mean, what has happened in the last...
So it's these people that are...
Right, so that's what the Ramban is saying. That this isn't a general statement about all the Jewish people forever and ever, both in the past as well as in the future. So that you guys... You are going to be conquering the land, right? So you're the ones who sinned with Peor. You were the ones well, I guess Bahaluscha is before the beginning of the 40 years. But you were
Were they Egel? They weren't the ones for the
Egel. They weren't the ones doing the Egel, which is a little confusing, which is a question on the Ramban, because the second half of the Perek is entirely also not the Meraglim, but they did sin with Pur. I'm trying to think of any other significant averos that they did, and I've been having trouble. No, Korach is also assumed to be earlier, even though Korach is a little unclear. Korach is not really given a date. We don't really know when that happened, but the assumption is that it took place earlier on as opposed to later on. I mean, other things, Chukas, do we have any averos there? Not really. Oh, well, the sin with the snake going after them, that's in Parshas Chukas, when they were all being consumed by the snake. They're complaining about water. Yeah, that second round of complaints when they were saying we don't have any water, we don't have any food, we don't have, right, as the people. So that section, they should have had enough emunah to say, well, Hashem took care of us for the first 40 years, He's going to take care of us going forward as well. And they didn't have that. Plus, with the sins, with the with Peor, that would be enough to end it. Except for that, Hashem says, well, I gave them promise, so therefore we got to stay on. He also, the Sforno here makes a point. That term that we that prominent term of Am Kishay Oref points out is pops up here as well. And Perek Tes Pasuk Vav, Hashem says, Ki Am Kishay. It's not your righteousness that you're getting this land because you're an Am Kishay Oref. What's the problem? What's so bad about being an Am Kishay Oref? Rashi says, the Sforno says, Shim Efshar Shi Et Tzedek V'Yoshu Levav Am Kishay Oref. That it's impossible, Shi Efshar, it's not possible that you can be a righteous and straightforward people, Am Kishay Oref, if you are this stubborn. Ki Omnam Kasha Oref Hu HaHolich Achare Sviros Libo Machshavasa. That because a person who is Am Kishay Oref is only following their heart and their thoughts. Afa Pish Yodiuhu Eze Moret Tzedek Baraya Barua Shemachshavasa Hi Bilti Tovu Mevia El Hafsid. Even though you might have a Moret Tzedek, you might have a righteous teacher instructing you and showing you how you might be mistaken, you don't change course. That's what it means to be an Am Kishay Oref, or people that are stubborn, and therefore, and that's why this Sforno feels justified to say, Shei Efshar Shei Tzedek V'Yoshev Levav. That it's not possible that you could be righteous. Now we do, and the Sforno doesn't acknowledge us, but we do have an Am Kishay Oref seemingly being used in a good way. That Hashem, as He's about to forgive the Jewish people for the Cheta Egel in Parshas Kitisa, He refers to the Jewish people as an Am Kishay Oref. That's the leaning of the fast days. On fast, Ki Am Kishay Oref Hu V'Salachta Lavoneinu Chataseinu Unichaltanu. That Hashem seems to be forgiving us for that reason as well. So the Sforno doesn't acknowledge that. Here the Sforno is just saying, you can't be an Am Kishay Oref because you're never going to seek to correct yourself or be able to listen to people who are attempting to correct you, which is an interesting commentary, meaning nobody is proper. I mean, nobody is right. Everybody needs a correction. And if you're going to be stubborn, so then you're not going to be able to correct yourself. And the Sforno continues on the next parak, is a chor al tishkach, v'yayir al hayos ham kshi oref, that you're going to give testimony that you're an ham kshi oref, kinei chazartem lahakziv pam achar pam, because Hashem got angry with you time after time. I mean, that's what this parak is. It lists off the times when Hashem got angry. Kekelev shav el kio, like a kelev, like a dog who returns to its own vomit. That's the way it's translated. It's a pasuk in Mishlei that he's quoting. Even though every time you see the rebuke from Hashem and Hashem's greatness, you still go back to doing those bad things that you did before. That's the, you even sinned at Har Sinai, says the Sforno, and we're going to see the badness of having that midah of being Am Kishay Oref. Hashem got angry with them at Choriv, meaning at Har Sinai, Hashem did not say to destroy them. That was the reason that Hashem gave. Hashem gave originally there, I'm going to destroy them because they are an Am Kishay Oref. Because of this Kishay Oref that removes the hope of repentance. So part of the tikkun, part of the thing that we need to do in order to repair the damage from the period of the Midbar is to make sure that we are not being overly Kishay Oref, or not in a bad way.
So we're not too stubborn, is that it?
Don't be too stubborn. Don't be too stubborn. But
isn't some of that good?
Yes, that's our point. Yeah, that if you go, if you go to the leading Parshas Kisisa, so towards the on the leaning on the fast day, it says, Hashem said, if I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, let the people go, for they are an Am Kshei Oref. Right? And you shall forgive our iniquity and our error, etc. That's what the Pasuk means. So there, it does seem to be being used in a good way. We don't see any...
Is that the same as a stiff-necked people?
Yeah, that's the way. That's what's normal.
Same word?
Yeah, even though an oref is technically the back of a neck. The oref of an animal is over here. Mm-hmm. Like an egla arufa, right? Is the calf that's killed by the back of the neck.
In this week's parsha, what is it, by Yigash?
That is this week's parsha.
Right. When Yosef meets.
Judah, the brothers, Jacob.
No, they fall on their necks. I mean, I know there's a portion where they when Yosef meets Benjamin, right? When Yosef meets Benjamin,
okay.
Do they use the same word neck? You know, they fall on their necks.
Was this week's parsha or last week's parsha?
No, it's last week's.
Well, you already met Benjamin in last week's parsha. That's why I said I'm going to keep you.
But I thought he comes back. When does he fall? They fall on their necks, and then. When Yaakov comes, Yosef falls on his neck.
Well, Yaakov comes in this week's parsha.
Right, and he falls on his neck.
Yaakov arrives. So if you see, Vayera Elav, Vayipol al Tzavarav. Yes, he fell on his neck.
But that's not the same word.
But
that's not the same word that.
Yes, Oref is the back of the neck.
Oh, and Tzavarav is the front of the neck.
The neck. I don't know. It's a good point. I don't know. Vayifkal Tzavarav od lashon harbos b'chiv.
And the same thing when Yosef meets Yaakov, he also does the same thing. So it's a different part of the neck?
I don't know. Oref is the back of the neck is important because that's what turns, I guess.
What are they referring to here, this neck?
Yeah, maybe it's the whole neck. Maybe you hug someone. You put your hands around someone's tzavarav, around their neck. That's the neck. The oref is the back of the neck.
No one's going to go and kiss he was here.
The back of the neck is like part of the spine or something.
It yeah,
is.
That's the oref, right.
And the other part is just, but the, I don't know which part turns. It's a good question.
The whole thing turns.
If this doesn't turn, this thing. But anyway, so it's one is, they both neck, but they mean different parts of the neck.
Tzavarav is translated as neck. Oref is translated as the back of the neck. Okay. Like, my problem with running has been with my oref. It's been with my back and my neck. That's why I haven't been able to get as far as I'd like to. Okay, what else do we got here? So in Pasuk Yedzayin, he describes, Ve'espos b'shnei luchos v'ash l'chem. I took hold after you guys sinned with the Cheda Egel. So I took hold of the shnei luchos, and I threw them at you. So why did he throw the luchos? So the Ramban here actually tells us. So he says, Gamze min hatochachos, that I grabbed luchos. Yomar haya onchem gadol minaso, that your sin was too great to bear. Ad ki berosi eschem misachkim lifnei ha'egel, lo yachalti li sapek vishavarti haluchos. That I wasn't able to restrain myself, and I went ahead and broke the luchos. Now that's a very interesting line. That's what the Ramban says. I couldn't restrain myself, and I threw the luchos. Is that a good, bad, or, like how does that show? We generally assume everyone should always be. Right, is that what it's being described here? That sounds what it sounds like being. Sorry, I couldn't restrain myself. Why is he telling them this? Just to tell them. He wants to explain what the story is with the second luchos, which he's about to talk about. Right. So we do know. In fact, the very last Rashi in Chumash. Actually, we have it here. The very last Rashi in Chumash is. tell is that I guess some of the oh it's in the end of Hasid, no wonder. Actually quotes from the Gemara that Moshe got a Yashar Koach. That Moshe Hashem said Yashar Koach for breaking the luchos. It was a good idea. There it is. Leinei kol Yisrael shenisu libo lishbar haluchos leineihem shenamar v'yashav v'veshbaram leineihem v'yeskima das hakadosh baruch hu ledaito shenamar sheshibarta Yashar Koach sheshibarta. That Hashem agreed with his das, as the pasuk says, which you broke. Yashar Koach was a good idea that you went ahead and broke the luchos. So does that contradict this at all? Not necessarily. Number one, it could be Moshe's just giving like an effect. I mean, Moshe was considered to be totally under control. Second thing is, even if you did it in anger, it doesn't mean you did the wrong thing. So Moshe did it. Now, I do have there's a fascinating piece of Torah about this, about Moshe breaking, that Hashem giving him a Yashar Koach. Hashem, the Gemara tells us there were a couple things that Moshe Rabbeinu did, and Hashem said, it was a good job that you did those things. Meaning Moshe acted on his own. Hashem didn't give him those instructions, Moshe acted on his own. So why specifically those things? I'll say that for another time. But that's what. But it's. It caught my eye, that Ramban. The Ramban also might be. I don't want to say exaggerating is the right term. But in the previous parak, there was another Ramban where the Ramban said, where the pasuk says, "Do as Yashar v'hatov b'nei Hashem. Do what is right and good in the eyes of Hashem." And the Ramban makes a comment that that really is an all-inclusive mitzvah that includes all sorts of things because it's impossible for the Torah to list every human interaction that could possibly be. So to say that it's, anything's impossible for the Torah to do is a very striking language. It could be the same type of thing is going on here. So anyways, so that's number one. He just says, I couldn't restrain myself. I had to do it. I just wanted to show you like how bad it was what you did and what the idea is of how fortunate we are to have second luchos. He also says, Tovimahem, ki sakin b'nafshar lish b'luchos akil tovasam. He also wanted to show them that... that he put himself in danger for them. How did he put himself in danger for them? Who said that he was allowed to break the luchos? I mean, the same idea. Hashem never gave instructions to do it, and yet he's going ahead breaking these luchos that were made by Hashem. Right? That's a risky move that Moshe was doing. So Moshe is telling them, look at the risk that I took on your behalf.
Couldn't he be deflecting Hashem's anger?
Well, yeah, but who knows? Meaning, Hashem could have said it. You broke my vase, right? The same time, it's bad enough that they're bowing down to a thing, but you have to take my furniture and smash it. So Moshe intuited that's what was necessary, and ultimately Hashem gave him a Yashar Koach. That was a good idea that he do so. Okay. All right. One other piece here. The Rashbam. There's a lengthy. Usually the Rashbam is very short. The Rashbam is really just trying to give pshatim. Sometimes maybe even more a more simple explanation than even Rashi is giving. I mean, more closely aligned with the text. But the Rashbam here actually has a lengthy piece. Relatively lengthy for him, where the pasuk tells us in pasuk Chafei and Chafav, 25 and 26, that I fell in front of Hashem for those 40 days and 40 nights, because Hashem wanted to destroy you, and I davened to Hashem and I said, Al tashches amcha v'nachles, don't waste them, because you took him out of Egypt, and remember that you made a promise to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And lest they say that you weren't able to bring them into the land of Israel. Right, that's what it says in Pasuk Chaf Ches. The two real reasons that Moshe is focusing on, one is you made a promise, and second is if you destroy the Jewish people before bringing them into the land, the Egyptians are going to say, ha, yeah, he took us on, we were only one king, but they had all these kings in the land of Israel, Hashem wasn't going to be able to be successful, he was not that powerful a king, so therefore he had to take out the Jewish people before they went in. So the Rashbam says, Mia isha chacham yitin lev, v'yivin lama chutzrich lichpol kan nefilas ar. Why does he mention twice this idea that he fell for 40 days? Because Right, is that the way that the Torah normally acts, that it doubles up its language and says, this is what I, kach v'kach yitpalalti, and says, I'm davening like this. So, l'mayla haya lo lomar, v'lo haya tzarech lachsor v'lichpol, k'dei lehudia li'yisrael b'lashon zeh yitpalalti. So, it already said it earlier. It shouldn't have to say it again. Why is it saying it again? So he says, Shema Tomru Valochit Gadol Kemaisa Egel Ho Ilat Filasa Shemoshe V'Nitzolu. He says, lest you say, right, we had such a great sin, like the sin of the Chita Egel, Moshe was able to save us. Af Be'eretz Yisrael. So the Rashbam says, even in Eretz Yisrael, Im Chnechta, let's say we sin, that'll be okay, because, yeah, Moshe might be dead, but we'll have other Nevi'im, and Yo'ilu Lanu Tfilas HaNevi'im, and the other Nevi'im will be able to protect us. So Moshe's warning them, don't say, oh, we'll just sin, and we'll have the Navi take care of us. So Amar Lehem Moshe says, Lo Til Lachem Tefila Be'eretz Yisrael. This Tefila, it actually sounds like Tefila won't work for you in Israel, but what he means, under these circumstances, Tefila is not going to work for you in Israel. Why? Because what's the reason that you're getting a kapara now, that you're getting atonement now, is because we don't want to have a chil Hashem. And if you don't make it into the land of Israel, it's not just you that's going to look bad, Hashem is going to look bad. Was that was part of the tefillah. Less people say, they took him to a land which Hashem wasn't going to be able to bring them into. And therefore, don't kill them in the Midbar. But after you go into the land of Israel and you kill 31 kings there, and you at that point inherit the land, so then Hashem will be like, all right, you do something wrong, you guys are out. Aye, but wait a second, what are all the other nations going to say? They're not going to say anything. They'll know the reason that you're out is because you sinned, right? They're not going to say that I wasn't able to conquer the land.
Well, what about the promises to the... There were two reasons. One was the promises that they made to...
Okay, so that maybe that's an ultimate redemption thing, right, that they're going to get back. Also, maybe the promise is fulfilled. I mean, at what point do we just say, well, the promise... I mean, the people say, well, they're promised the land, they got it. Right? They're given. Rather, what will the Goyim say? The Goyim will just say, the Jews sinned, I guess. As the Pasuk says in Nitzavim, V'yamru kol Goyim, alma asa Hashem kachab la'aretz hazos, ma'achar yaf. Right? The Goyim will say, oh, what did Hashem do to the land? Right? It must be he was very angry, etc. Amru ala sher azu es bris Hashem l'kei yavosav. It says, oh, it must be because they left the pact that they had with Hashem, their fathers. The yitch v'yakshim Hashem mi'al ad masam, bi'afu v'chema, u'v'ketzav gadol, v'yashrichem el aretz acheres k'yom hazeh. And Hashem must have taken them with much anger and threw them out of the land and sent them to another land, as the Rashbam concludes, k'yom hazeh, like has happened today. Right, that's what Rashbam says happened today. Today. What's his today?
Right.
His today is the 1200s.
Like Crusader time?
Yeah, the Ram, but Rashi was born in 1096, so the 12th century, yeah. Right, so Kayom has that, right?
You mean like it's happened today, mean that the Jews were being destroyed? Is that what?
No, I think what he means is that we're in Gullus like we are today. I mean, nobody is walking around saying, ha, their God wasn't able to, they say God had took it out of them and maybe has chosen someone else. I mean, that has been said, but no one is walking around saying that their God is not powerful enough in order to maintain their presence in the land of Israel.
So what is his Kiddush? What is he saying?
What's he suggesting? The Rashbam is saying that Moshe is trying to pass a hint on to them that, yeah, it's true that you guys won't, and maybe this is an answer to the entire parak, that, I mean, the whole parak is depressing. The whole parak is a big shiloh. I mean, why is Moshe beating into them that, oh, you don't really deserve this? What's the purpose of that? So perhaps, according to this Rashbam, it becomes a little bit clearer. Moshe is making it clear to them, you don't deserve this, and you're getting it anyways, but don't think that is going... And why are you getting it anyways? You're getting it because it was promised to Avraham Yitzchak that you'd be brought to the land. It doesn't say forever, necessarily, to them. You got to check the Bris Men of Basar. It doesn't say forever, right, that you're going to get the land, so you're going to get it. And B, that Hashem didn't want to look bad if you didn't get the land. But beware that that's not going to last forever. That's not going to be able to hold you up forever, because if you're there for a little bit and then you lose it, so then no one's going to say, oh, because God wasn't powerful enough. God was clearly powerful enough. They're going to say, because it must be that God got sick of you, right? God is punishing you, and therefore that's why you guys are out, and God is still powerful. And that's what the Rashbam relates, that that's what the situation that we find ourselves in today, that B'nai Yisrael was not able to keep the land. Everyone agrees that God is powerful, but B'nai Yisrael is still, unfortunately, in Gullus, and will be able to end that soon. What?
And the promise is forever. It's like a Brit Mila. I mean, this is a permanent covenant that God has with the Jews. You can't just say it's a temporary thing.
No. It's a permanent covenant. But what did he promise to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? What did he promise to them? That B'nai Yisrael was going to leave Egypt, go into the land, and be there forever?
Yeah.
I got to check the pasuk. I don't know. I don't think that's what Hashem promised to them.
What does it mean, temporary? I mean,
he promised them that they would be able to be brought to the land. And he promised them an ultimate geula as well.
It's unconditional. When he promised them, is it conditional?
Well, that's what he's saying here, that it's not conditional. Correct, but the ultimate geula is conditional. In fact, if you look at the Haftorah that we never read, for Parshas Kedoshim, it is a, I believe it's Parshas Kedoshim. Yeah, it's from Yecheskel, that Hashem says, you should become guilty. No. Sorry, it's the second half of the Haftorah, which I think only Sephardim read, and only when we read Parshas Kedoshim, which is very rare, so it's not really read. But by Yom Hashem says, "V'amarta aleichem komar Hashem." B'yom bachar Yisrael v'esayadil lezer beis Yaakov v'dol lehem beres Mitzrayim v'esayadil lehem limor ani Hashem lokeichem. B'yom ahu is on that day nasasi yadil lehem lutzi meres Mitzrayim el arz shetarti lehem zavas gavulash v'mar lehem, and I said ish shekutzei enav hishlichu, cast away your idols, uvigilule Mitzrayim al titamu, and the detestable things of Egypt don't become impurified. Ani I'm Hashem v'yavruvi, but they rebelled against me. V'lo avulishma, they didn't listen to me. Eish eshkutzei neim lo ishlich, they didn't throw away the idols. V'lo esgulele Mitzrayim lo azvul, they didn't leave the evil ways of Egypt. V'omer, and I said l'shpuch hamasi aleihem l'chalos api behem b'soch eretz Mitzrayim. So I intended to pour my fury on them in Egypt. However, va'as l'man shemi levilti echel le'nei agoyim esher heim b'socham. But I did it for my sake. I mean, I took them out of Egypt for my sake, lest the non-Jews say these bad things about them. Esher nadati aleihem le'neihem lotziyam mi'eretz Mitzrayim. So after I had to take them out, and I took them out, and I gave them, etc., the land, but they rebelled against me in the wilderness, etc., and continues like that. But the point being that I'm taking them out for my sake. However, ultimately, it's not going to be that way. Ultimately, in order to get the ultimate redemption, we have to reach it, as is made clear at the end of Malachi, which happens to be the Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol. That at that point, it's going to be something that we've earned rather than something that we've just merited. All right?